Good evening, all. So we thank God for. So I really thank God for this great opportunity that is given to us this evening to sit here in front of the whole church. So I believe that as we say what God has put in our heart, and as we all contribute, and that every individual that is here is going to be blessed, you know, because none of us came here just for coming sake. You know, we are here because God wants us to be here, and there is something that He has deposited in you, in myself, and all of us here that we're all gonna benefit from. So tonight we are talking about affirmation. You know, so I will go ahead by saying, going with the definition of affirmation. You know what the dictionary says about affirmation. And it says, according to dictionary.com has several definitions, but I'm gonna pick up like just a few. It says here that it's a statement or proposition that is declared to be true. It's a statement or proposition that is declared to be true. You know, it's also an assertion that something exists or that something is true. And it's also confirmation or ratification. You know, it involves speaking the truth. You know, affirmation involves speaking the truth. You know, it's like confirming something, saying something the way it is, speaking the truth. So you know, being that I'm the one that is studying this, so the way I put it, I said, what is the need to affirm? You know, the need to affirm. You know, and I will go by saying that it helps the receiver to grow. You know, when you affirm someone, it helps the person that you affirm to grow. You know, and I'm using positive affirmation right now. You know, when you affirm somebody, the person that you are affirming, it helps the person to grow. You know, there are people who do something or say something, they need to be encouraged. They need the things that they do or say to be recognized, to be talked about. You know, and if you keep ignoring what the person is doing or what the person is saying, then it affects the person's growth. You know, so I say that affirming somebody positively helps the person to grow, and it also encourages the person. You know, it gives the person hope that there is development. You know, it makes the person to know that there is development, that what he or she is doing, where she was, is not where he or she was before, it's not where the person is at the moment. So it gives room for improvement. You know, when you affirm somebody positively, it gives the person room to improve. It gives the person room to do things that are even more right. You know, to continue to try as much as he or she can to get things right. You know, so I will also talk briefly about negative affirmation. You know, negative affirmation is when you keep telling your spouse, your kids, or your friends, your coworkers, whoever that person is, that they are always wrong, or what they always do wrong. You know, remember what I said, affirmation is confirmation, saying what is true. You know, so somebody might be doing something that is wrong, and you're telling the person exactly what he or she is doing, saying it the way it is. You know, not affirming the person the positive way. You are now affirming the person, telling the person the truth, but coming about it the wrong way. You know, so that's negative affirmation, saying the truth the wrong way. What you're telling the person, be it your kids, be it your spouse, be it the people you work with, whoever the person is, what you're telling the person is actually the truth. You know, but you're not bringing the message the right way. You know, you are not affirming the person the in a positive way, you know. So and what this does is that it brings the person down. It helps the person to it causes the person to withdraw. It causes the person not to see growth in his or her life. It causes us, it makes the person to also try to get things right in his, with his own power. You know, so it's something that we really need to be careful about. You know, we really need to be careful about it. It's not a must that you're going to let the person know what he or she is doing at that particular time. You know, if you're somebody that gives quick response to what people do, you need to withdraw. You need to take your time and ask the Spirit of God to direct you so that you bring out the message the right way. Because the truth, what we are trying to achieve from this topic is that when these things are being done, is to bring out the best out of that person. So when you're trying to tell your kids the things that they do wrong, and you're saying what they do wrong, no encouragement, no hope that things are getting better, you know, as the day goes, it causes the person to feel, why am I even trying? You know, why am I stressing myself to get things right? Because I know I will always get it wrong. So it's very, very important to affirm someone, be it your spouse, be it your kids, be it your coworkers, wherever you find yourself in a position where you need to affirm somebody, we need to do it positively. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so I also want us to read a scripture so we don't just say these things just for saying sake. I want us to read Ephesians 4:29. You know, I'm reading from NLT. Ephesians 4:29. So it says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." You know, so it's very important. It's good to say the truth, you know, but when you say the truth the wrong way, when you bring the right thing the wrong way, there is no fruit in it. You know, at the end of the day, what your plans, your original plan is to get the person to know what he or she did or what he or she said. But the original plan is when you let this person know this thing, that you expect to see change. So, and when you focus on saying it the way it is, bringing it to the person the way the person said it or the way the person did it, at the end of the day, the result you're expecting is not going to come. Rather, things are going to get even worse. You know, so it's very, very important that we take care of these things. And my time is up. One more thing that I wanted to say is that, you know, the causes of negative affirmation. You know, what are the things that cause us sometimes to give our spouses or our kids negative affirmation? One thing is the lack of trust, because maybe consistently the child have been saying things wrongly, doing things wrongly. You don't even trust the child to get anything right anymore. You know, understand? You don't even trust the person or your spouse to get anything right anymore. So whenever the thing comes, you give it to the person, because in your heart you've thought that it's very difficult for this person to get it right anytime. So as the person does whatever he or she does, you give it to the person the way you want it. You want the message to go across to the person. But I will encourage us to always have it at the back of our mind that there is a result that we expect to get when we affirm our spouses, our kids, or whoever it is that we are affirming. And for us to achieve that, we need to do it positively. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. So the question they gave to me is, how do you continue to affirm a person even when they are doing something wrong? You know, the scripture made us to know in James chapter 3, verse 12 to 10. It says, for we all stumble in many ways. One thing we have to have in mind that each one of us stumble. So when that your daughter or your son or your husband is doing something wrong, just come back to your senses and know that I stumble in some other way. But you say, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his own body. So now, when you learn and remember that, okay, I need to control my mouth, I need to control how I speak, you're not just only trying to save that person, you're also saving your own life. Can we do this by our strength? It's impossible. It calls for the help of the Holy Spirit. Because many times we have said, okay, today I will start affirming my children. But when the trouble, like Pastor says, normally say, Marcus, you see yourself doing otherwise. So this is something that we need the Holy Spirit to give us strength, to remind us of what we're supposed to, because we know what we are supposed to do or what we are supposed to say. Now it's the help of the Holy Spirit to remind us what he says concerning our husband or concerning our wife. Because what you are seeing is not the real thing about a person. Is what the Bible says concerning that person. And you know, we, according to the Bible, say we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a force that is trying to make you to say something that will bring the person down. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out from your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fit the occasion, that it may give grace to the hearing. You are giving grace when you affirm a person based on the word of God. And what is grace? Grace is not just unmerited favor. It's the dynamic power to become what God has called you to be. It's the power to become what God has assigned in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, if we have that in our mind, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of God, this will make things easier for you when that time comes. Now, you're not relying on your strength. Remember, this person is causing wrong. The flesh doesn't like it. You won't like to take it. But when that time comes, the Holy Spirit will say, you have that grace. You have that power. You are building up. And you know, when you're building, let's say you're building a house, it can take months, years. It's not a one day thing. So as you're saying that thing, you are building up. You might not be seeing anything. Something is happening. You are adding, you are building up, because you think we should build up each other. Our work is to build up, not to pull down. So when you're speaking the word of God to that person, you're affirming based on the word of God, not based on what you see. You're actually building the person up. And when the time comes, you see the person transforming to what the word of God says. I'm going to use myself as an example. I remember when we got married newly. Back home, my husband came to Nigeria. So we were talking and he was like, oh my God, I have so much work to do with girl. Because if you knew me before, I had this low self-esteem. I never believed that I amounted to anything. I never loved myself. I always think that I'm ugly, that there's nothing good that will come out from me. But I thank God for my husband that God brought in my life. He didn't give up. He always spoke the word of God upon my life. You're a virtuous wife. You're beautiful. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. At first, I was like, yeah, right. Let's see. But he kept saying it. It wasn't easy for him. I knew what went through. He kept saying it. He kept saying it until I was like, I need to really believe this. And when I started believing it, this power to become what God says, I start seeing it in my life, and God is still doing it. I've not reached to the level God wants me to be. So what am I trying to say? Let us not give up. This is something, a ministry given to each one of us. He said, we should minister grace. Minister grace. God has called you to minister grace. Not just for your children, not just for your husband or wife, even people that work with you. Minister grace. Oh, this man is a wonderful man. He has a nice heart. Oh, my child, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, you have excellent spirit. As you are saying that, something is happening. So I'm going to stop here. Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. My question is, is it difficult to love someone that keeps talking you down? So as my husband has said, and as Auntie Uluma has said, affirmation can be positive, it could also be negative. We give positive affirmation, we also give negative affirmation. It's just speaking the truth, what you see, and speaking it. So I want to ask, is it difficult to love someone that keeps talking you down? The answer is absolutely, 100%. It is difficult with our own power, with our own flesh. It is very, very difficult. In fact, if someone keeps talking you down, you may actually start hating them. And we find that happening in a lot of relationships, either in husband and wife relationship or in family and children, and you hear the kids, you know, the parents, especially in our community, you know, Ibu and Saw, you know, or a stupid girl or a stupid boy, or you never amount to anything, you know, like, you know, saying these things, you know, and the kid, they actually hear it and they start thinking, oh, I'm stupid or I'm nothing or I will never become anything, and then eventually they start resenting their parents, and they start looking for affirmation, positive affirmation elsewhere. Like they may go to school, they might have friends that tell them, you know, good things about them. So then they start pushing away from their parents or even from like a spouse. The spouse may, you know, negatively affirm each other, and then they start pushing away and like, Daddy, you know, Daddy always tells us that if you don't speak, especially for women, if we don't speak to our husbands the right way, somebody else will speak to them the right way, and that may cause a problem. And that's the same thing that happens with children and parents as well. So it is very, very, very difficult to love someone that keeps talking you down, that keeps telling you that you will never amount to anything. But the only way that we can love someone who talks us down or who tells us that we'll never amount to anything or who gives us negative affirmation all the time is through the Spirit of God. You know, they call Jesus so many names, and even though he was called so many names, he still forgave them. So it's only by God's grace, it's only by God's mercy that someone can talk down to us and say negative things to us, and we can find strength to forgive that person and even go as far as to pray for that person that the light of God will touch their hearts and they will see that what they're doing is wrong. Proverbs 18:21. Let's go there.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Praise God. Yeah. So that's really what it is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's really what it comes down to. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And if we speak things that we see that are negative, then that's not walking as children of God. It says that we're supposed to call the things that are not as if they were. So when we see things about someone that's negative, we're not supposed to say them, you know, say, oh, this, this, or this. We're supposed to say the opposite of what we see and baffle the person. The person be like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm not this. But you keep saying it to the point where the person actually starts believing, they become a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it actually becomes true. If you tell someone all the time, oh, you're smart, you're smart, you're smart, you're smart, you're smart, the person will feel so smart they will just want to read for no reason, just because they think, they just because they feel like they're smart. But and then the other side, if you tell someone you're stupid, they'll say, okay, no point of going to school, no point of doing anything with my life. Instead, in fact, let me just go join gang members, let me just do whatever I want to do because I'm stupid. You have to build with your words. Jesus in Mark, he saw the fig tree and he cursed it with his mouth. He said what he needed to say and it happened. And that's the same power that we have. With our mouth, we affirm. With our mouth, we positively affirm or we negatively affirm. So in all, basically, to be able to love someone that keeps talking you down, you just need the power of God. It's not your own strength. And also ask yourself, so getting away from the person who's talking you down, you can ask yourself, you know, what am I doing that will be causing this person to be saying this about me? Like, for example, if someone is saying, oh, you're a riff, let me give a simple example. Someone is saying, wives, you know, since I'm a new wife, someone is saying that, my husband never said this to me though, but if someone is saying, oh, you're nagging too much. So you can ask yourself, why is my husband saying I'm nagging too much? You know what I mean? So it can be a two-way thing. You can ask yourself, you say, maybe I am nagging too much, you know? And then you step back and you say to yourself, you know, let me look into it and see what I'm doing that's causing him to say that I'm nagging too much. And then on the other hand, you talk to your husband and say, you know, you shouldn't say that, you know, I'm nagging too much. You should positively affirm me. But now two of you are working together. One is not saying it, and one is checking themselves to find out what's actually going on to make the person say this. So that's all I have to say.
Praise the Lord. All right, in conclusion, we have dealt with two questions. One, how do you continue to affirm a person when they are doing something wrong? And the other one is it difficult to love someone that keep talking you down? Now, my question to you is, who told you so? Somebody's doing something wrong. Who told you so? Somebody is talking you down. Who told you so? You know, in this life, there are two kinds of voices. The voice of God and the voice of the devil. And the voice of God can come to you in so many ways. The voice of the devil can come to you in so many ways. So I ask you again, who told you so that this person is talking you down? Who told you so that this person is doing something that does not deserve you to affirm the person? You know, one thing I know and I understand is when the devil is talking to you, it will start making sense to you when there is sin somewhere. This is the same question God asked Adam in the Garden of Eden when he ate the fruit. He said, who told you that you are naked? Now he went and said, have you eaten of the fruit that I said to you not to eat? But prior to that, these two individuals have been dangling the gift of God, gave them all over the place, and it was never a problem. Then all of a sudden, verse 7 of chapter 3 said, at that moment their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame. But prior to that, so, and God said, who told you so? Which means somebody had been telling them something and it was not God. God knew that he created them naked. And God said, it is good. All of a sudden, the nakedness became a weakness. Now, why was that nakedness a weakness? And I'll tell you that. Because before sin, the glory of God, you know what the glory of God does? It blindfolds any weaknesses in our lives. Now, when sin came in, the Bible said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So whenever you are where the glory of God is not, you start seeing weaknesses. Oh, this person is doing this. This person is doing that. This person is not doing it well. Oh, this person actually did me wrong. So I ask you again, who told you so? Praise the Lord. Now, when I'm talking about sin, sin is not actually when you doing the act. Sin is committed in the heart. The act of sin is when you are now manifesting the sin that has already been done in your heart. Bible said that, let no man say when I am tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when they are drawn away from their own lust and enticed. Now, when that lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. Now, when sin is finished or when it's committed, it brings forth death. The act of sin is that when you're actually showing us the sin that is in your heart, that's when you have died. And when I say died, I mean when you are actually in separation with God. Praise the Lord. So, sin is simply missing the mark. When you are doing what God does not want you to do, you are in sin. Now, again, I ask, who told you so? You see, God has said so many things about us. God is in the business of affirmation. You open your Bible, He's affirming you. You are my royal priesthood. You are my holy nation. You are the apple of my eyes. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and called you righteous. Do you know that you are as righteous as Christ? You are as holy as Christ. But probably most of us have committed many sins, but God is still looking at you the same way He's looking at Christ. I ask again, who told you so? You see, when the devil is ministering to you and you start believing in what the devil is saying to you, you have stepped out of the will of God. And Bible told us that whatever that is not of faith is sin. So when you are saying what the devil is showing you, you are out of faith. And Bible told us that without faith is what? Impossible to please God. So you are not in connection. The glory is no more there. And you will be seeing more evil. They are doing. We have this song, whose report shall we believe? Whose report shall we believe? Are you going to believe what the devil is showing you? Bible told us that the devil is a liar and father of all liars. There's something I call truthful lie. Truthful lie, what time is it? If it's 5 o'clock right now and the devil comes and tell me it's 5 o'clock, I tell the devil you're a liar. Because he is a liar. Because that 5 o'clock he's telling you is to destroy you in one. He told Adam and Eve, your eyes will open. Open to what? Open to the faults of the devil. Open to the ministrations of the devil. Because after they ate that apple, that fruit, did they become like God? They didn't. They just start seeing negativities. They ran and went and hid. I ask again, who told you so? We have to learn how to hear from God. Somebody might be doing things that is annoying you. Don't give in. Like my wife said, you have to start prophesying positive on top of that. Bible says, having done all to stand. There's no other thing. Having done all, if you have done everything to fix this issue, keep on doing it. Keep on standing. Now, the first question said, how do you continue to affirm a person when they are doing something wrong to you? It is by faith. You keep on affirming the person. My wife told a story here. Before, if I tell my wife, you are beautiful, she thought I was making fun of her. I said, no, I actually meant it, you are beautiful. She said, I have to stop being disrespectful. I can't be making fun of her. So the only way to break that is keep on prophesying positively. She'll be walking over there, I'll be here, I scream, wah, wah, and she get embarrassed. You know? But to cut the whole thing short, now I call her, she respond more than 5 times. Praise the Lord.
Is it difficult to love someone that keep talking you down? It is very difficult, like my sister said. Very, very difficult. But that's why we need Christ. Because with God, all things are what? Without Christ, it is important. You can't do what? Nothing. And that's why we need Christ in our lives. That's why you are not an ordinary person. I mean, I laugh when I hear Christians, when they are complaining about what somebody did to them. And you tell them, forgive. And they are telling you, you are not in my shoes. I don't have to be in your shoes. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And the Bible is life. If you keep on believing it, it will become flesh. And you'll be used to it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I was reading a news article about a man. He was very, very short, a short man, and very ugly. No, that was a true story. And he lived in a neighborhood, so every lady that comes out from the apartment where they live, this man would say, "Baby, you look very good. You dress very nice." He was affirming everybody. And they said eventually this man married one of the most beautiful actress in the world because of her mouth, because of the affirmation. So you see what that can do, I mean, in the life of people. You know, where I work, there's what we call political correctness. You know, somebody will be putting sand in your eyes, but you're gonna be politically correct. You still say, oh, you know, and you see somebody whose workmanship is very lousy. You know, you call them to a meeting and say, look, this what you're doing is very good, but you need to push it up. In the old days, you said, man, what you're doing is very bad. I will fire you the next time. But because of that political correctness, you know, and the way you talk to the person, he might improve. That's what we call affirmation. You begin to affirm them, tell them that they can do more than what you see on the paper right now. That's my comment. Thank you.
Before I tell my story, I want to remind us that it's not only words. Sometimes your attitude. You may not say anything, but your attitude will talk for you. We bring people down by snobbish attitudes. You don't have to say anything. And then we run into the chef of, did I say anything? But action speaks what? Louder. Louder. So we must know that our attitude, our actions also tell. But there's a, in East Africa, there's a country, I don't know, I've forgotten the exact country. They kill albinos. Albinos. You know what albino is? They kill them. Huh? It's Tanzania, so they kill them. And then the reason they kill them is that they think they're witches. And they use them for very powerful, according to them, witch medicine. And even parents will give their albinos up. But it happened that the Miss Tanzania was an albino. And then British Broadcasting Corporation flew down there to find out how come that in this country where they kill you, you are the Miss Tanzania. And not just Miss Tanzania, she holds this thing for many clothing lines. Has anybody read that story? Many clothing lines. She's a millionaire. And then they flew down to find out. And she said, when my father had me, every day of his life, he would tell me that I was the most beautiful girl around. Every day, up until that very day, they came from London. He said, my father was still telling me that every day. He said, as I kept hearing that, I started believing that. I started acting that. And then because he was telling me that, people around left me alone. So they didn't kill her because the father believed in her. So she didn't bring her out like others would do. Because others would see them as bad women. But he saw his daughter as a good woman. He said he kept telling me that, and I started, what I had every day for years finally took on in my heart that I'm very beautiful. He said that's what gave me the courage to go for Miss, you know, the local, and I won. And then I came for the national, and I won. And I still believe I'm beautiful, and then the clothing lines and things are using money. Just because my father would tell me every day that I'm very, very beautiful. So I think words are really powerful. Words are really powerful. If we learn from these things we say here, I pray that we don't just listen and close it here and walk away and be doing what we're doing. The American definition of madness, craziness, is to be doing the same thing that is not working. They say you have lost your mind. So the benefit of coming here is not just to sit here. It's that you will be so humble enough to let this information change the way you do some things. Amen.
Of the presentation, but I think I heard this from Obi, but my question is, can you take us, or anybody can take us from, let's give an example of a parent who, what you're looking at, or rather, let's say you have a child who is not following your instructions, okay, so you're looking at it, and then when they go to school, they also complain that they're not following instructions. So you're looking at these things and you don't really, you're not even in the feeling like speaking. You want to correct them. You want to make sure that they understand the issues at hand. So can you take us from that person, maybe a father or a mother who is dealing with this challenging child? And how would they transition to being able to speak the words that would build that, deal with their emotions, what they are feeling, their disappointments, so that one can practically see how to transition. Does that make any sense?
Yes, praise the Lord. All right, I'll use my son Moses as an example. There was a time, no, I think it was Joshua. There was a time, like, their school, they have, like, color codes that they use to grade them. If you're on pink, that's excellent. If you're on green, that's good. If you're in yellow, that's warning. And if you're red, orange.
Orange.
No. Is it orange? No. Red. Red means you are just bad for that day. So, when I knew about that, I told them, listen, I don't want yellow, green upwards. So one day he got yellow. I said, why did you get yellow? He explained. So I happened to be in the school. Now the teacher is telling me, yellow doesn't really matter. I mean, they can just have yellow. So that whole week, the guy kept on coming back with yellow. So it just dawned on me. And whenever he get yellow, school will call me, oh, he did this, he did that, that's why he's on yellow. So like the whole week straight, he just had yellow. So I came and told him, Joshua, do you know why I named you Joshua? He said, because Joshua is a great leader in the Bible. So you can't be getting yellow and you'll be a great leader. So now I'm telling him. So now I went to the school because they called me meeting because of all the yellow. So I said, listen, I wasn't tolerating yellow before, and you guys said it's okay. Now, I'm not going to listen to you guys again, one, because it's not your child, it's my child. My child cannot be on yellow. So now, I spoke to Joshua. I corrected him. I focus on what he's doing wrong, and while I'm correcting him, I was correcting him like, the reason why you shouldn't do this is because you are here, you are a leader, because you are a child of God, because you walk with God. So he's here now. He's knowing the reason why he's not supposed to do that. And one thing I realize with children is you have to constantly be telling them stuff, you know. Because every children, they are not the same. Some people, you have to tell them one and they will grab it. Some people, you have to like really, really talk to them and then they will hear. And also, I advised youths. And I remember when I joined the Facebook for the first time. Immediately I entered, the week I entered, it's like all our youth just disappeared from Facebook. Because anybody that put any status, I jump on the person. This person will put this one, I jump. They started calling me Facebook police. And you see these kids, they'll have like 4 or 5 accounts. So, you know, you catch them here, they move on the other one. So, and at the end of the day, I'm the one having headache. Not even them. Then while I was growing, I realized that it is not that way. So I see some, there was one that put something up. And he didn't even know that that thing was wrong. Instead of attacking like I used to, I inboxed the person. I said, do you think a Christian will make this statement? And the guy, his reply amazed me. He said, oh. I said, what do you mean, oh? He didn't know. So he made me change the way I respond to our youth. And if you respect them and tell them, not to force them, but just tell them, listen, this thing is wrong, and the reason why I'm telling you is wrong because the Bible says it's wrong, but it's up to them to make that decision. That's when it's very, very effective. From my own point of view, praise the Lord.
Get up. Okay, praise the Lord. Just a quick contribution to her question. I think it's a very good question, by the way. I happen to have a nephew whose name is Joshua also. And they tried to diagnose him with mild autism, and the teachers didn't even like it. They wanted to give him another heavy thing, ADD, and he didn't even have that because he was always hyper. So what I was doing with him is, the fact that we speak the word, which is the truth, reality is the word, we say, we don't say what we see, doesn't change or take away teaching, because teaching is part of the word, so we should teach our children. I think that's where you're coming from. But we should always take every opportunity we have to make the child say good things and speak good things to the child. I want to dare the parents in this place today to tell your children, especially those that are from 2 to 10. So this is what I was doing to Joshua, whenever we're in the mall or wherever we are. I'll tell him to say, I'm blessed. He'll say, I'm blessed. I'm strong. I have muscles. I love my parents. I will obey. He'll say, I will obey. So I started telling him to say all those things about himself. I'm smart. I'm the best in my class. And he kept saying it with confidence as though he believes it. And I tell you, if I stayed that way for 6 months, he would have turned around, but it's in Texas now. So when you're with your child in the mall, you have to be radical because this is your baby. And you want your baby to be on TV, you have to be telling him, see, I'm going to be on TV. You say, I'm going to be on TV. You know, so you have to talk, you know. Am I making sense, sir? So that's my contribution. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Okay, sorry, I have another story of what affirmation did for me. I remember when I was growing up, I know I gave my parents I gave them headache, but they were ready for me too, you know, so it was going both ways. So, but when I was growing up, when I was becoming a man, when this, you know, they don't flog me anymore. So it's like, you know, this back and forth thing. So, I remember when I was growing up, my mom, she knew a lot of ministers. So when these ministers come to my house, my mom would tell them, oh, this boy is doing this, he's doing that. And at the end of the day, they want to conduct one deliverance or the other on me. And sometimes when they'll be praying that prayer, I'll just be like, yo, whenever you're done, you just leave me alone. I will never fall on the floor
What, you know, like, it's like a battle. It made me, I started disliking ministers. So, I mean, when we came to United States, when they came to United States, a man of God came to my house. I knew it was a man of God because when I was coming inside the house, I heard them, you know, talking. You know, when you hear men of God talking, you know. So immediately I came, and they were talking to my mom. I knew she must have been telling them about me, you know, and things like that. So immediately I wanted to be all right. My mom said, "Hey, Obioma, come and greet the people that came to the house." And I came. It was Pastor Emmanuel and Mommy Dorothy. So I was coming in my heart. I was like, "Here we go again." So I was expecting for him to say, "Young man, you know, the Lord loves you. You have to listen to you." Man, Pastor Manuel just got up and just came and hugged me and started praising me like, "Man, I heard you were a good drummer. Oh my God, you should come and teach my children how to play drum." I was like, "Are you sure this man is a man of God?" You know, like, he started praising me. Man, I forgot to go. I sat down because this praise is good. So I sat down, man. The thing was coming. I said, "Yes." So mind you, I was going to Love of Jesus at that time, and I was taking this 1 month class for you to become a member before you can join anything. So the following Sunday is supposed to be the last time, the last class I'm supposed to take. If I don't take it, I have to wait for another 1 month to take that class before I can join their choir. So that Sunday, my mom just came and said, "We should go to that pastor's church that came." Now, mind you, my mom is not somebody that just convinced me easily, because we are the same kind of people. I talk, she likes to talk, you know. So, I mean, we can go. I mean, my mom cannot just convince me like that. I told her no, that I've been going to this class, and tomorrow is maybe next time. She said, "Okay." That Sunday, I was ready to go to Love of Jesus, and she said, "Are you sure you don't want to come?" Man, I just remember all those praises. I don't know what happened to me. I just decided to come to First Square that day. And I came, and I'm here till today. So even the thing was, even pastor passed this thing, towards his children too. Because I came, the way they treated me, Onyeka got up off the drum and just ushered me to the drum, sit down and play. I didn't even know that these kids were good. So I was just there making all the noise, and they were just acting like they're enjoying it, like, you know. So, man, after I finished playing, I felt like, man, I've taught them how to play. Then after service, when you got on the drum and start playing something, I never heard that thing before. I felt so stupid. I said, "So, these children are good like this." But the way they made me feel, like, man, after that day, and pastor passed that along all of us, you know, the way we treat new members when they come, the way we treat, you know, our youths when they come, and it kept on passing and passing and passing. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I want to say that our relationship with our children matters a lot. I'll speak from the point of view, because I was once a teenager. And I noticed that before, when my dad was there, I was so attached to my dad. I never had any relationship. As in, my relationship with my mom wasn't that strong. So when my dad left, I was less than 10 when my dad left. And it was so hard for me to build a relationship with my mom, because the person that I used to have that relationship with, the person that I used to be very close to, passed on. And I couldn't build a relationship with my mom. So it was so hard. It was really so hard for my mom. She would say one, I would do two. She would tell me this, I would do the other one. Because she can't convince me, just like Obi said, my dad is the person that used to pat me. He do pet me, he knew to tell me things. I was so friendly with him. So that relationship wasn't there with my mom. But then I noticed one thing that my mom did later on. When I turned, I think when I was about to finish high school, my mom, instead of shouting, because she used to shout, and when she shouts, when she yells and yells, things get worse. But then I noticed one thing she did later on. When I turned, I think that was when I was 16. Instead of yelling, my mom would call me, sit me down. She would tell me things. The first day my mom did that, I cried like I never cried before. She talked sense into me because I was thinking that I was doing things right. She doesn't have any right to tell me things. But that day she just sat me down. She said, Ada, this is not the way to do things. She started explaining things. She started giving me the implications of what I was doing. You know, after I had those things, I broke down. I cried and I cried and cried. She built a relationship with me that anything, there is nothing that I do today that I can't confide in my mom. So I want to tell us parents that the relationship we have with our parents, with our kids, matters a lot. If you build a good relationship with your daughter, with your son, anything, if you build such a relationship that she can't do anything without telling you, she can't do anything that she can't tell you, I'm telling you the truth, you will enjoy your daughter, because before she do it, she will tell you. And even if she do it, she will still tell you. Praise the Lord. So I want to tell us that our relationship, try from when they are still very little. Build a good relationship with them. It matters a lot when they become teenagers, because it's always very difficult when they get to that stage. I was once there, but my mom built a good relationship with me later on, and it was so helpful. It brought me to, it made me who I am today with the help of God as well. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I also wanted to add that it's something that happens among siblings, but I believe our parents can take something from it and work on it, like being involved in the relationship between your kids, you know, relationship among your kids. It's very, very important. I remember my immediate younger brother growing up, he was the outlaw in the family, and he never cared about anything. You know, anything he wants to, if you give him something that he should do in the house, he wants to do it at his own time. If you decide to starve him, he has a way of going to open the cupboard, eat his food, cover the plate, come back to the house very late. He does things his own way. And it got to a point, he doesn't really feel pain, you know, when you flog him. And also I remember growing up, when I got to a certain age, I used to tell him, instead of affirming him positively, if he does something, I will tell him that your kids will do the same thing you're doing to you, the same thing you're doing to my mom, your kids will do it to you. And I wasn't sorry about it. I will tell, anytime he does it wrong, I will tell him how it is and all that. And that wasn't encouraging for him. That never changed him. He kept doing things the way he was doing it. And it happened that he got born again, even while he was still in high school. You know, and he turned around and became much better than all of us. You understand? God did it for him, but for some kids, that might not happen. My mom used to cuss him out like so much. You understand? So my mom wasn't interested in building the relationship that we all should have, like especially myself and himself, because I gave him just 1 year, so he never believed I'm older than him. So I never affirmed him. And which it affected my relationship with him even up till today. We are good, but we can't like have conversation like brothers and sisters, like two brothers, like for a very long time. You know, so it's very important that as parents, we look into the relationship that exists among our kids. You know, let them know, even though this person is getting it wrong, you that doesn't like what this person is doing, as a parent, you need to let that person know that this your brother needs affirmation. Even telling him what he's doing wrong, you need to say it in love, the way he will understand it. You know, like Obi said, respect is very, very important. You know, because when you respect somebody, that's when the person gives you room to really talk to him. So the kids can, the children can do this, but the parents also have a big role to play in it. For my brother, he's good now. It worked for him, but some people, but for some people, it might not change if nothing is done about it. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I just want to add to what I think it was Otito that said it. One thing is that everybody, whether you are a child, a husband, or you know, a wife, you know, need affirmation. Affirmation is very important. Do you know why they have, why most of these, you know, children, as you know, American children, or black children, why they join gangs? It's because they are not being showed love by their parents. They are not being affirmed by their parents. And then what they do is they leave their parents and then go to a place where they will show them love. And then they belong there. So a teacher was telling, you know, talking to me, you know, at Barringer when I was a, you know, a sub. And then he said, do you see all these children that are from Newark? He said, none of them has left Newark. They don't know where Livingston Mall is. It's just, you know, they operate in Newark. So they come to school because their parents are not there. Their father are in prison. Their mom, you know, they're somewhere drinking. So they don't know what love is. So as soon as school is over, you see them on the street, you know, joining gangs, and then that's where they feel free, that's where they're being loved, that's where they're being affirmed. So it's very important, you know, that we affirm our children. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to add a very short comment. I was going to say, you know, positive affirmation isn't even something that only the Bible teaches, even in the secular space, you know. And I'm a social worker, so I work with at-risk youth. And one of the things even therapists will tell you, positive reinforcement is a tool that even non-Christians use with troubled people, whether you have depression, whether you have, you know, you're coming from a really messed up family life. If you constantly reinforce to someone that they're good, that they're capable, and this is even in a worldly sense, that's a tool that even therapists use. So if in the secular world, you know, therapists and counselors and social workers can utilize the power of telling someone that they're good, how much more as Christians, you know? So it's just something that's it's really important, because I mean, I've even seen it work for people who aren't even believers. So as believers, we should utilize it to the most, we should utilize it to the maximum potential. So that's what I was going to say.
Praise the Lord. So I just wanted to add that sometimes it's not only about the positive affirmations. Sometimes our faith and confidence level needs to match that positive affirmation and that plan that you know that God has for your kid. For example, when I was struggling with my academics and they would tell my mom stuff, she would tell me, oh, that's not gonna happen to you, but I will see her go and pay for the next set of classes. Like that faith alone just, it changed my mindset about things, because I saw she was not just only saying it, she would go and just pay and be like, you're going there. It's not even something that is debatable. I trust God, and I'm also putting my leg out to make sure that I do my part. So sometimes it's not only about just saying it. Let's see actions in the little things that you can do. That way we know you have confidence and we see your faith level, even because when we grow up and now when I'm expecting God for things, my faith is on 1,000. Like, I'm not, it's not a case of will it happen or will it not happen. It's a case of it's gonna happen. And I'm trusting God enough, and I'm putting my own faith too out there. My confidence is sure.
The Lord. Okay. All right. I want to also, you know, encourage us with the positive affirmation, especially when people miss it. We know that a lot of people are battling with all manner of things. Like Obi was telling us, there are different voices speaking to us. And that's why we come to church, we fellowship with the Word of God, so that we'll be able to be familiar with the voice of God when we hear it. But there are other voices, and they have different channels whereby they speak to us. So a lot of times people feel low, or maybe feel they're not up to par with some others, like Uloma gave us an example with herself. So when people miss it, you know, it's our children, it could be our spouses, it could be anybody. We have to understand that someone is telling them something that they are hearing, and that could be a deceit when it's not from God. And then it might begin to affect the things they do, and they begin to do something that is not right, and then maybe they keep repeating the same thing that is not right. You know, we as children of God, God has given us His Spirit. The Bible said that we have the Spirit of God in us. And where they read said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And when we remember what grace is undeserving, unmerited favor, which means they don't really merit it or deserve it based on what they are doing. And that was what God offered to us in the person of Jesus. So He is encouraging us here to offer the same to the others, even when they are not getting it right. And by our speaking in line with what the Word said about them, and not in line with what we are seeing with our five senses, we are sowing a seed, and that is a seed of the Word of God. And the Word of God will not return void. But we just keep persisting at that, like they have been emphasizing to us. And I believe that's why God said in the very next verse, He said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Because the Holy Spirit of God is not there to remind us how... He's not there to condemn us, to say, look at how terrible you are. Look at, you're just acting very stupid. He's there to encourage us, especially when we fail. He's there to tell you, my dear, God still loves you. You can make it. Your future is bright. The light is not off yet. Keep on keeping on. You are a child of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is there to do for us. He's there to help us, especially when we need it. And that's why the Bible says we should come boldly, especially in time of need, even when we miss it. God still said we should come. And so if the Holy Spirit is working to help that person, to encourage that person to come off that pit, we that are co-laborers with God should not now be joining the enemy to run them down. We should be encouraging them by also speaking the same words of affirmation, even though it's not what we are seeing. But we don't go by what we see. We go by what the Word said. So what the Word said about them, so we could join with the Holy Spirit. That's why He said that it brings sorrow to the Holy Spirit, because He's working on that person to help that person come up higher. And you are saying, look at you. Look at you. We will never, you know, you get what I'm saying? So we have to walk, be co-laborers indeed, especially when the chips are down. That is when we are seeing something negative. That's when we have to rise up and begin to voice out the Word of God. And we are arming the angels of God to have something to work with. They begin to work with that person based on the words that we are speaking. But when we want to give it to them the way it is, because you're speaking, you want to tell them the fact as it is, the devil will just be laughing, say, yes, you see now, I told you are stupid. I told you will not arm. You see now? That's exactly who you are. And the person will say, well, he that is down needs fear no fall. And we just keep on going backwards and backwards. And we say, look at, it's not even changing. But you're arming the enemy. So it is important that as children of God, we don't sadden the Holy Spirit. We work together with Him to help our brothers or our sisters or our children or our spouses
to stand. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Awesome. Isn't that awesome today? So we...
Why I came up here. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to move from what we're talking about. I want to bring us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, what we're talking about is exactly what the gospel is saying. For God so, he didn't come to condemn us. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to help you. I came to save you. And he gave to Christians the ministry of what? Not the ministry of condemnation. And he said the means of doing this is to preach grace, mercy, and love. And Paul said, what makes me do things is not the law. Is the love that God has for me. Just like Obi said, Pastor, encourage me. And he sat down. Paul said, it's the love of God that made me sit at the feet of Jesus. Remember the woman that came to Jesus with alabaster? Broke it? Did he break it? Was crying? And used her hair. What brought her to that point? It was the love of God. It was the love that he saw that Jesus showed her. And this is a woman nobody ever showed any affirmation at all. She was bad. And the Pharisees told her, so. But Jesus came and said, no. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to show you that God loves you and cares about you. And the woman came. He drew the woman to Jesus. I want to remind us, if you are not preaching the gospel of grace, you won't bring anybody to Jesus. You don't force people to Jesus. You don't force them. It's the love of God that draws people to Jesus. And Jesus had more followers. I was telling somebody that when the Pharisees would not let him love people in their synagogue, he formed his church in Matthew's house, where there were drunkards and sinners. And then all the Pharisees came and stood outside and said, he's drinking with the sinners. But what did Matthew become? One of the disciples. Because Jesus came close to him. He said, I came to look for you. What affirmation did Zacchaeus get? The man that wouldn't even, they knew he was a sinner. Jesus said, you're worth something that I want to stay in your house. Without preaching, he drew him to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, you know, I'm a thief. And Jesus said, but I'm staying. All this. He said, I'm going to give up everything I stole. There wasn't any preaching to him to say stealing is bad. But he saw love and he sat at the feet of Jesus immediately. I think we should learn from this. Some people spawn the gospel of grace. They think it doesn't work. But let me tell us the truth. It works. It does what? It works. The love of God will melt your heart. It will melt your heart. And when you love God, you can do anything just because you love him. And you will never be tired of doing it. If you have a lover, if you have a wife, you do anything. And what is pushing you is the love you have, not the do's and the don'ts. That's why the Bible said that the law killeth. It brings death, separates you from God. But the grace of God draws you close to God. And I want to remind us that every one of us sitting here, nothing will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Don't listen to any spirit that tells you that God doesn't care about you anymore. I'm telling you, when you sin and you need grace most, grace is available for you. Because without that love, the act of mercy, you cannot be restored. Because it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not comes in. And he says his mercy faileth not. It doesn't stop. It is that is mercy that makes him keep walking to bring you back. and to clean you up and to show you the way out. That thing he's doing is unmerited because you're fallen. But Jesus paid the price for it for you. Don't run away from the love of God. Embrace it. And he said, my throne is the throne of what? Grace. He said, when you come there, you will obtain mercy and find grace. Grace to help you at your time. If you need restoration, if you need forgiveness, if you need healing, if you need whatever you need, God says it's available. My mercy will make it available to you. Because that will draw you closer to God. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why I came up here. That's an opportunity for us to understand what the gospel is all about. Praise the Lord. I think we are done.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.